Hello, it's Angel. So it's Friday. So I thought I would talk about a few fetishes. Fetishes, again, totally fascinate me. I love learning about them. Yes. So I thought I would share some information because, you know, I do enjoy educating you guys on some fetishes, ways of life, that are out there in the world, things you can experiment and think about and see if, you know, possibly your life is missing something by maybe, you know, everyone has different sexual interests and different things that they don't know that they're into until they learn about them. So one of these might be something for you. So the first one, being a furry. And according to Urban Dictionary, there is no one single definition of what a furry is. Even within the furry fandom, people cannot always agree on just what makes a person a furry or not. Now, a furry, to me, without reading on, which I will read on, is a person that dresses up in a costume that takes on the persona of a certain animal, the animal that they're dressing up as. That is personally what I always thought it was. But it says here, some would argue that to be a furry, you must think and talk like one, use a specific, specific language, words and phrases, which I was unaware that they had their own. I mean, of course, I mean, every group has certain words and phrases that they use. So, that makes sense. It says, even if you go to conventions, wear a fur suit, or draw the art, cause there is quite a bit of art, out there. It's always, interesting to look at, if you write stories, etc. But if you don't talk using this furry language, some people don't believe you are a furry. They don't accept you into the fandom, lifestyle. It says basically someone that, walks the walk, but doesn't talk the talk. So some people don't believe, you know, that you're a true furry. Others, it says, argue that even liking anthropomorphic creatures makes you a furry. You may have no idea the furry fandom exists or have heard of a furry convention, let alone any of the websites, but simply like anthro critters makes you a furry. And, and just so we are, clear, anthropomorphic is having human characteristics. So I don't know if you've ever seen online, everyone's different with their internet searches. I don't judge. I just share what I know. there's pictures, art of, different animals with more human, physical, anatomy traits, things that look a bit similar. So that's what that is. It says, as with any hobby, most furries are normal people. I would assume all of them are normal people. I mean, normal is such a weird word. Anyways, just like anyone you'll meet at work, school, or going to and from, then there's a small percentage that are hardcore fans that have taken what for most is a hobby and perverted it, and sometimes in an all too literal sense. As is with so many other things in life, the few that take it too far tend to be the loudest. The silent majority are often forced into silence by the loud majority for fear that people will label them as being in the same class as the minority that have perverted it. One unfortunate side effect of the internet and the relative anonymity that some sites grant their users is people are able to engage in activities, even if only on a virtual level, that they would never even consider doing in real life. For example, of this is trolls who message board and may put people down. But it says overall it's a hobby and that some people have perverted it. However, the only type of furries that I've ever had any knowledge of or learned about did tend to have a more sexual side to it. But there are people that just really enjoy this lifestyle. So I thought I would share that with you. A sexual act. It's really random. I like, you know, there's those really random, like, descriptions of a sexual act that I really don't believe anyone's done. But I love Urban Dictionary. And, the other night, having a conversation about dragons. Dragons is not something I typically talk about. That's not a thing of mine. I'm not a furry or anything like that. I'm not into dragons. However, I was talking about dragons the other night, and there was a book we were discussing, and there were dragons that in this book that not all dragons breathe fire in this book. I wasn't reading the book. Someone else was, that did ice, that breathed ice. And I was trying to envision what these two dragons, if they got together and had baby dragons, what they would be. And, the person I was having the discussion with said, well, peppermint dragons. And so that night I was laying in bed and like, I wonder what a peppermint dragon would look like. Or if that's even a thing. 'Cause that sounds adorable to me. And when I looked it up, on Urban Dictionary, peppermint dragon, it came up a sexual act of jizzing so hard up a girl's nose that it starts to bleed. The blood and semen mix and come out in swirls, hence the peppermint dragon. I guess, according to some other friends, there's something called a Russian candy cane that is somewhat similar. I'll let you look that up on your own. Another fetish is a balloon fetish. And I don't know, they're called lunars. And so I found this website. It's balloonfetish.org. So very simple to find if you're interested or if you're aroused by balloons at all. I'm going to read you what is balloon fetishism? A sexual fetishism is defined as a sexual attraction to an object that plays a big role in his or her sexuality. Virtually everyone has a fetish of some kind. It can be anything from feet, latex, lacquer, and leather to the more bizarre as pimples, armpits, and yes, balloons. I think comparing armpits and balloons together is a stretch. But that was just me intersecting my thoughts. I haven't read this prior, sorry, I scanned it. But as a balloon fetishist, this is the person writing, there are certain parameters that vary from person to person. One of these parameters is whether they like popping balloons or not. In other words, all balloon fetishists can be divided into three groups. Non-poppers. The non-poppers hate to see and or hear a balloon burst. A non-popper will typically have a phobia of balloons, but they can also just be so caring about their balloons that some of them will be directly unhappy and sad to see or hear a balloon burst. Accidents will happen,
so long as the popping is unintentional. Once popping is intentional, popping normal, used, or old, rescued, oxidized, etc., then the person would be considered as a popper. Now, poppers, you guys did all catch the part where we're going to be very caring of the balloons. The non-poppers seem to really respect their balloons. The popper's passion lies mainly in popping balloons and watching a partner of the opposite sex, or same sex for some people, pop. And sometimes torturing balloons in different ways. The poppers typically like watching someone else. And then there's the third category, according to balloonfetish.org, is semi-popper. The non-poppers experimentation stage. So I guess this is like the bridge to decide, you know, they haven't committed to being a popper or non-popper. This is the semi-popper. The semi-popper is, as in the name implies, a non-popper that, despite their discomfort in popping balloons, they like to experiment with it because they are finding it a bit exciting. Common to all is that they typically have to manage the transition from non-popper to popper in their own pace. So there's a transition. It's not something you rush into. In addition, all balloon fetishists have their own individual idea of the perfect balloon in terms of size, color, shapes, and even motives. So I want you all to take a minute and really question if you're a popper, a non-popper, if you're somewhere in the middle, and what your perfect balloon would be. You know, there's no such thing as a... I'm sorry. I'm trying to be serious here. And I'm getting the giggles. I apologize. Very disrespectful to anyone out there with a balloon fetish. But, you know, really think about the perfect balloon. You know, what would your perfect balloon be? All right. Yeah, that was what my fun. Oh my gosh, no! This one blew my mind when I learned about it. Cake farting! Holy shit! I like cupcakes. I do. I like cupcakes. Don't eat them very often, but I do love them. Cake, you know, certain cake is amazing. So cake farting is basically, I don't have anything to read off of. This is just my general knowledge. Because I have strange general knowledge. But I've never done any of these things I'm talking about, so I'm really just relaying the facts of what I know. I have never experimented with any of these, and I don't have any plans to. However, cake farting is basically, you have a cake with frosting, you stand over it, and your actual, whatever you want to call it, anus, rectum, butthole, actually has to come in contact with the frosting to be a true cake fart. And then you fart on the cake. And, yeah, it's very sexual to some people. I think there's other variations of it, other things you can do to the cake, while farting on it. Yeah, it's something that's out there, guys, and you need to be aware. Could you imagine, me not sharing this information with you and then someday getting into a relationship and now you have that knowledge in case your partner wants to experiment with any of these things. So I'm there for you. I am there for you. I want you to know part of this is very, as much as I do not judge anyone for any of this, if you're not hurting anyone, I support you in whatever fetish you are into. If it's not illegal, you're not hurting anyone, I support you. But I do find the humor in all sex because sex is so fucking fun. I can't enjoy it if it's all seriousness. And these are fun things to discuss and to think about. And certainly I'm never going to try any of them. However, I thought I would share them all with you. So, have a wonderful day. I love you all, and I'll talk to you all very soon. Bye.